The path of virtue leads to peace. The path of virtue leads to peace. But sin will only bring us strife. But sin will only bring us strife.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we welcome you once again in our program One Virtue, One Sin, in which we talk about one pious deed and then we talk about one sin, its detriments, its harms. Today, again, we've brought a wonderful topic for you, where in the first half of our program today, we will talk about patience, how beautiful this action is and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to observe patience, how excellent this trait is. And then in the second half of today's episode, we'll talk about sorcery. The sin that we've chosen today is sorcery, doing magic, how evil it is and how harmful it is for our iman. So these are two traits that we will be discussing today, which is one virtue and one sin. So make sure you stay with us from start till end, inshallah, an immense amount of knowledge will be gained. Before we do that, let's first of all listen to the virtue of sending peace and salutations upon the noble prophet, the final messenger of Allah, the seal of prophets, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The noble prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, has said that he who sends salat upon me 50 times a day, I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So dear viewers, the virtue that we will be discussing today is the virtue of patience. How much it has been emphasized for us to observe patience in the Quran, in Hadith, and how important it is for us. Its importance can be seen from where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to observe patience and be with those who are patient in the Holy Quran, and how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has highlighted its importance in Hadith narrations. Inshallah, we will cover some of them in today's episode. At the same time, we also need to understand, dear viewers, that patience is very, very important for us to observe in our worldly life as well. As because of being impatient, of course, we won't make anything better, or the harm or the detriment which we faced because of being impatient, it won't be revised. That harm, that loss will not be recovered just because of being impatient. Rather, the reward that we would have obtained because of being patient, we would miss out on that very reward as well. And because of displaying impatience, because of being impatient, there are many other worldly and religious harms that we will encounter. Now, dear viewers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tests His chosen servants through different tests and trials. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made all this. And Allah Almighty tests His chosen servants through different trials, different tribulations, and see how patient they are. And patience is one of those actions, dear viewers, by the virtue of which a person attains proximity, closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He excels the ranks of greatness and he becomes more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Almighty says in the Holy Quran as well that Allah Almighty tests His servants through different trials to see who amongst them are patient. And then Allah Almighty also says that those who are patient, give them good news, give them glad tidings. So Allah Almighty says in verse number 155 of Surah Baqarah,
وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ.
Translation from Kunzul Irfan: we shall most certainly test you with some fear and hunger and some loss of wealth, lives, and fruits, and give glad tidings to the patient. Now, dear viewers, in this very verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is declaring that Allah will most certainly test you with some fear, hunger, loss of wealth, lives and fruits. And then there's glad tiding, good news for those who are patient. Now in the commentary of this verse, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah says that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He will test you through some fear, now what does this fear mean? It means the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah says that He will test you through hunger, what does this hunger mean? It means through the hunger of fasting in Ramadan, to the hunger of the fasts of Ramadan. And when Allah says that He will test you through some loss of wealth, it refers to paying zakat and paying sadaqat, giving charity. And when Allah says that He will test you through some loss of lives, it means by making you face some diseases, some illnesses, and you facing deaths. And when Allah says that He will test you through some loss of fruits, then what does this mean? This means through the death of children, through the lives of offspring taken away. And why are children referred to as fruit over here? Because children, offspring, are truly the fruit of the heart. As in one narration, the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that when the child of any person dies, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels that, have you seized the soul of the child of my servant? To which they respectfully replied that, yes, O overlord. To which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then asked them that, you've taken the fruit of his heart? To which they again respectfully replied that, yes, O overlord. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them that, what did my servant say upon this? To which they respectfully reply that, he glorified you, he performed your hamd and said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To which Allah Almighty says that, make a house for him in Jannah, in paradise, and name it Baytul Hamd. Allahu Akbar. Dear viewers, we can see from this narration and the verse that we also covered that how fortunate, how lucky those individuals are who observe patience in the face of calamities, when calamities befall them, when inflictions befall them, when adversities befall them, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them glad tidings in the Holy Quran. And this very narration that we just covered, dear viewers, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned in the verse that He will test you through the loss of fruit, meaning children. And look at the reward that a person gets upon being patient upon the death of his offspring. Now, when the offspring, the child of a person passes away, his observance of patience is something that makes him excel the ranks of nobility, makes him attain more closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, a person who becomes impatient, not only does he lose out on this reward, but if you think about it, him being impatient wouldn't bring his child back to life, would it? The child would not resurrect because of him mourning or wailing or being impatient or uttering such sentences which necessitate him being impatient. So, impatience at such occasions, dear viewers, does not make a person gain anything. It is utter loss, nothing else, just loss. Because of being impatient, a person, he loses on the great reward of the hereafter and doesn't gain anything. The child will not come back to life because of him being impatient. And if we apply the same example into other scenarios as well, upon the loss of wealth or upon loss of something else, then of course him being impatient wouldn't bring his wealth back, would it? But him being patient would make him earn reward, and Allah will give more barakah in it. He may earn more wealth in future because of his patience at this very occasion. So dear viewers, it is very, very important for us to be patient in the face of calamities when we face any test or trial, as it will make us earn reward in the hereafter and attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having said that, one thing we should not get confused of, that when someone's child passes away or someone's loved one passes away or he suffers any loss, then of course naturally he will be depressed. Naturally there would be an element of sadness in his character. Now, being sad or being depressed in such a manner, of course, or shedding tear upon the passing of one's child or loved one, This is not against patience. Remember this, because it is natural phenomena that when someone's loved one passes away, there would be sadness. There would be some tears that the person would be shedding. So that is fine. Being sad is fine. Shedding tears is fine. This is not against being patient. However, wailing over it, mourning over it, uttering such sentences which are a display of impatience, this is something that we need to avoid. Creating a scene, creating a havoc, you know, making it known to people that this has happened, that has happened, you know, these kind of things are impatience which we should avoid. And doing so again would not make us regain the loss that we've suffered. Remember this. In fact, being patient would make us earn greater reward in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will give blessings in our loss, and inshallah azawajal, Allah Almighty would give us with more and better in future. Now when we talk about patience, dear viewers, it is also something regarding which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Holy Quran that those who are patient, Allah is with them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Indeed, Allah is with those who are patient. So imagine the one with whom Allah is. Does he need anyone else? Of course not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who are patient. And this is something very, very important for us to realize and understand and work towards, that we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with us in this world and in the hereafter. And those who are patient, Allah Almighty is with them. And in one direction, viewers, the importance of patience has been highlighted so much that it has been deemed as sign of faith, as the sign of Iman. So once the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Ansar and asked them that, are you believers? So they remained quiet. The second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, said that, yes, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning that we are believers. To which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam asked that, what is the sign of your Iman, the sign of your faith? To which the Sahaba, they replied that, we pay gratitude to Allah in the state of prosperity. We observe patience in the face of calamities. And we are content upon what Allah has decreed for us. To this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that, by the Lord of Kaaba, you are believers. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, after listening to this response where the Sahaba said that, we pay gratitude to Allah in the face of prosperity. When we are prosperous, we pay gratitude to Allah. When we are facing calamities, when we are facing tests and trials, we observe patience and we are content upon whatever Allah has decreed for us. So when these three elements were mentioned to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, one of which was also, we observe patience in the face of calamities, then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, taking oath on the name of Allah, that by the Lord of Kaaba, you are believers. So, dear viewers, we also come to know that patience is also a sign of belief, is also a sign of Iman, something very, very important for us. And when we see the lives of the honorable prophets, when we look at the lives of the Sahaba, lives of the Awliya, they were full of patience. And that is something which is duly found in the seerah of these honorable elites, those who are the chosen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is greatly seen within their characters. The patience of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, Allahu Akbar. Yusuf alayhi salam, his own brothers conspired to kill him. He was even thrown into a well. He was then sold as a servant in a market. And then he also went through the tribulations, the hardship of being in prison for several years. But yet, he alayhi salatu wasalam always remained patient. And how Allah Almighty rewarded him? Allah Almighty granted him a great kingdom in this world, an example of which cannot be seen. And then the reward of the hereafter is besides this. The patience of Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam, remarkable patience, where Ayyub alayhi salam was blessed with abundant wealth, land, livestock, servants and children. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took all of this away from him. His house collapsed and his children died. His servants disappeared. All his animals died, including thousands of camels and goats. All of his fields and gardens, they were destroyed, and he was left with nothing. Everything was taken away. And then he was also inflicted with an illness as a test. But yet, he alayhi salam always remained patient. He always thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, paid gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, never complained, never uttered a word of complaint to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and always remained patient and paid gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After years of these tests and tribulations, after years of his observance of patience, of him paying gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him back all his wealth, even to a greater extent. And then his reward in the hereafter is besides this. The test, the patience of Musa alayhi salam, Allahu Akbar, he tended to the sheep of Prophet Shu'ib alayhi salatu wasalam for several years due to a promise. Then, after receiving prophethood, he challenged Pharaoh and his false claim of divinity. He challenged Pharaoh despite knowing how tyrant and cruel he was. But yet, he alayhi salatu wasalam remained resolute. He remained patient upon all the tyrannies which Pharaoh inflicted upon him, to the extent that he even had to migrate from Egypt to Madian. He had to leave the land he lived in. He had to migrate from there. He still remained patient. And then after all this, the hardships that he faced through dealing with his nation, with his ummah, that was again second to none. But yet his patience did not waver even in slightest. And when we talk about the patience of the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, no one, dear viewers, could display the patience that was displayed by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He alayhi salatu wasalam himself says that nobody was threatened or accosted more in the path of Allah than I. Dear viewers, consider the continuous hostility shown by the disbelievers in Mecca, the accusations of sorcery, soothsaying and insanity, the 3 years boycott in the valley of Abu Talib, the pain inflicted by the leaders and vagabonds of Taif, the companions being ill-treated, ma'adallah, animal entrails being thrown upon him whilst in prostration, his relocation to Medina, consistently engaging in battle with disbelievers and confronting the evil schemes of the hypocrites, and so many other tests and trials that were inflicted upon him, but yet he alayhi salatu wasalam remained patient. And all these tests and trials, dear viewers, they were faced with immovable patience, profound strength, unshakable resolve, and unprecedented determination. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam mentioned about his own patience in these words. He said, O Aisha, Allah likes for the highly resolute messengers, meaning Anbiya ulul Azm, to remain patient upon worldly calamities and refrain from what is liked by the world. He then willed to oblige me with the same, which he did by declaring, فَصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُ الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ, meaning, so dear Prophet, be patient just as the resolute messengers were patient. By Allah, it is necessary for me to obey him. By Allah, I will show patience just as the highly resolute messengers did. And strength is bestowed by Allah alone. So dear viewers, in the light of these narrations and some of the accounts of some of the messengers that we've covered, we come to know that patience is an integral part of the chosen elite servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is something that draws a person closer in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, makes a person attain the closeness and proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The likes of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, the likes of Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam, Yahya alayhi salam, then numerous Sahaba alayhi muridwan, the test that Sayyidina Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu had to go through, the test that Sayyidina Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu had to go through, the test that Sayyidatuna Sumayya radiallahu anha went through, and so many other companions that they had to go through, the Ahlul Bayt that they had to go through, the other Tabi'een, Tab'a Tabi'een, and Awliya Udhan that they had to go through. That was remarkable, dear viewers. It shows us that how patient we should be. The test and trial that Imam Ali Maqam, Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu had to go through in Karbala, Allahu Akbar, teaches us a great lesson that we should also have patience in our character, which is something very, very important, dear viewers. So this was, in a nutshell, dear viewers, a brief discussion about patience. Now let's move on to the second segment of our program, which is talking about one sin that we choose in our program. And today the sin that we have chosen is sorcery, is magic. How harmful it is, dear viewers. This is such an action, dear viewers, which has severely been condemned in hadith traditions as well. This is something that we are severely told to refrain from, and it is severely, severely, severely harmful for our faith. In one narration, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, narrated on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu an, that refrain from 7 destructive things. People, they asked that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what are those? What are those 7 things? To which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam responded, that associating partner with Allah, doing sorcery, killing an innocent soul, consuming interest, usurping an orphan's wealth, fleeing on the day of battle, and slandering chaste women with the accusation of fornication. In another narration, dear viewers, it is stated that the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam wrote a letter to the people of Yemen, in which there were rulings regarding fara'id, the obligatory acts, regarding sunnahs, regarding zakat, and some other things as well. And in this letter, it was also written that in the sight of Allah, these are the greatest sins: associating a partner with Allah, unjustly killing a Muslim, fleeing from the path of Allah on the day of battle, disobeying parents, slandering chaste women, learning sorcery, learning magic, consuming interest, and usurping wealth of an orphan. Again, in this narration, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned sorcery to be amongst the greatest of the sins that are majorly great in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amongst them is also sorcery, doing magic. One person asked in the court of the Prophet ﷺ that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, how many major sins are there? And in this narration, the Prophet ﷺ replied that there are 9 major sins, and the greatest in them are associating a partner with Allah, killing a Muslim unjustly, fleeing from battlefield, slandering a chaste woman, doing sorcery, usurping the wealth of an orphan, and consuming interest. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we can see that in these narrations, the actions which the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned, the sins that he has highlighted, these are referred to as the greatest sins in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in all these narrations, they are pretty much the same actions, the same sins. And amongst them is also committing sorcery, is also doing magic. This shows us here, we said, how harmful it is for our iman and how serious it is, as it has been declared as a major sin. Something which is a major sin. And when the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the list of other major sins, such as associating partner with Allah, slandering a chaste woman with fornication, usurping the wealth of orphan, consuming interest, among these sins, he alayhi salatu wasalam has also mentioned the sin of sorcery, the sin of doing magic. Sayyidina Uthman bin Abi al-As radiallahu anhu narrates that I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam say that Sayyidina Dawud alayhi salam would wake up his family and he would say that, O family of Dawud, get up and pray, offer salah, because in this moment Allah accepts the dua of everyone except a sorcerer's and the one who collects unjust tax. Now again, that very moment, dear viewers, Sayyidina Dawud alayhi salam mentioned that Allah Almighty accepts dua of everyone in this very moment except for a sorcerer, a magician, and the one who collects unlawful tax. The final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam stated, there are 3 things that if any one of them is found in a person, then Allah may forgive sins of anyone but that person. What are those 3 things? That the one who dies in such a state where he associate a partner with Allah. Number 2, the one, a sorcerer, a magician. And number 3, the one who has malice against his brother. So it is very, very important for us, dear viewers, again, to refrain from these 3 things: associating a partner with Allah, then doing sorcery, and then having malice in our hearts for our fellow Muslim brother. The final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, in one hadith, told us about certain individuals who will not enter paradise. This again shows us the importance of this harmful action. In this narration, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentions that a habitual drunkard, the one who believes in sorcery, and the one who cuts familial ties, ties of kinship, will not enter paradise. In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ stated, the three people will not enter paradise. Number one, a habitual drunkard. Number two, he who cuts familial ties. And number three, the one who testifies to magic, who testifies to sorcery, meaning he deems it to be right, he deems it to be correct. These three individuals in this narration, dear viewers, has been mentioned that they will not enter paradise. Again, dear viewers, how serious it is for us to realize and understand that how evil this very action is when it comes to sorcery. The person who is involved in this evil practice, he will not enter paradise. He will not be forgiven. The curse of Allah is upon such an individual. When other people will be forgiven, a sorcerer, a magician will not be forgiven. The moment of night in which du'as are accepted, in that very moment, even in that very moment, the du'a of a sorcerer will not be accepted. So dear viewers, in the light of these narrations, we can see how harmful it is to be involved in this very evil. We should refrain from it and make sure that never ever go close to this evil action. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah Almighty allow us to be patient. May Allah Almighty allow us to observe patience throughout our life in the face of all adversities, in the face of any calamity that befalls us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to refrain from sorcery and magic. Ameen. Bijahi khatam al-nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
The path of virtue leads to peace. The path of virtue leads to peace. But sin will only bring us strife. But sin will only bring us strife.